Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Mary Johnson, and joining me on the chancel are Sharona and Sayre Johnson. This is an All Johnson Sunday. Sayre and Sharona will be giving the stewardship testimonial as well as the sermon entitled Roll with the Changes. We are Unitarian Universalists. Each of us may have different beliefs, but shared values. We are a house without walls, a congregation without spiritual limits, and a movement that calls you to put more faith in yourself, your community, and your beliefs. We honor your mind, your heart, and your journey. When we gather, we worship, reflect, and remind ourselves what matters most in life, and we learn how to live out our deepest values. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of the gray hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. And we'll then send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays. We have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 6 through those doors to the left and in the first room past the foyer. At the front here to my right is the Spirit Chair with quiet activities for all ages. You're invited to go to the Spirit Chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. And children and youth are encouraged to participate in our religious education program when we bless them and sing them out to their classes later in the service. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And I have some announcements. First is from Carol McGrew, who I believe is in the nursery right now. Carol has reserved a table at SIUE's Pride Week as an ambassador for our church. This is a great way to get visibility for our wonderfully inclusive church. The event is Monday, April 10th, 11:30 to 2, and she is looking for someone to join her at the table. So talk to Carol. This one is from Mary Weber, I believe. It's about our trivia night. You may have seen this on Facebook, but in case you missed it, we've had some questions about our UU trivia night on April 22nd. Is there going to be a prize for the winning table? Yes, the prize is a lottery ticket tree. So let's hope the winners are lucky as well as smart. Is it okay to reserve a table with only 6 players? Yes, any number is fine. And you may come as individuals, but please sign up early so we can arrange tables. The sign-up sheet is in the Kate Worker room. Can I bring my own beer? Always a good question. Sure, but we will have wine and other non-alcoholic drinks. We had one more question last night. Is it okay for older kids to participate? Yes, the kids may do better than the adults on some questions. And actually, one of the rounds was written by one of our kids. And all the kids can participate in the games between the trivia rounds. And if you have other questions, pass them on to Mike Schmidt, Ruth Maskow, or Mary Weber. We hope you can make it on the 22nd. And please do let us know if you are coming. I have several announcements here. Our monthly personal care distribution will be Saturday, April 22nd. It's going to be a busy day. That gives you only one more Sunday to bring a donation. There is a poster in the Kate Worker room with the items we need this month, plus a few shopping lists you can take with you. And we suggest that instead of buying one each of several items, that you buy several of one item. The folks who come on Saturday are always appreciative and thankful that we make these products available to them. Another announcement, Reverend Dawn will be preaching this coming Friday at noon at the Greater St. James Baptist Church as part of the Alton Community Lenten service. Service is at noon with lunch following at 12:30. And Dawn would probably like to see some familiar faces in the crowd. And my last announcement, this is a gentle reminder to add your name to the coffee hour volunteer cleanup list on the desk in the fellowship hall. It's a gentle reminder. I haven't given a strong reminder yet, but It's only fair that everyone who regularly partakes in beverages or snacks during coffee hour take their turn in doing cleanup. So get together with a family member or a friend and sign up to spend a little time after a worship service in this very needed effort to wash, dry, and put away. And that being all the announcements, Nicole Robbins will begin our worship with a prelude. As this is the month of our annual church financial pledge drive, we will hear each Sunday from a member or members who want to share their thoughts about their church experience here at First Unitarian. And so now I invite Sharona and Sayer to give this morning's chalice testimonial.
That was a really great song.
I love that song.
You know what I really love about this church?
The singing. No. What do you love about this church?
The coffee.
I love a good coffee.
I just love the religious education, all those young people.
That's a good group of youth with their bell bottoms and their iPads.
Not to mention those sermons.
So inclusive, so inspirational.
And the potluck.
All that yummy food.
My favorite are those, it's a plate of, what do I call them?
Balls. It was a plate of Mary Schwetti's balls.
Oh yeah, I love those balls.
This whole congregation is made up of people that love balls. It's what I love so much about this place.
Anyway, it's April. It's our favorite time of year. You know, what's in April?
What?
It's pledge drive time.
That's right. Pledge drive time. Good times.
This is the time when you ask to contribute to this place, to sustain our space.
Without your contribution, there'd be no balls to eat.
It's true. It's true. And we know that nobody wants that because we're a church, if anything, we're a church that loves Mary's sweaty balls.
There's nothing like those sweaty balls.
But there's also nothing like a big fat check.
It's true. We now ask you donate to this church so that we can continue growing and sharing balls with everyone.
Thank you. It took balls to do that. Now, how do you? We come together to affirm the potential we all share for building community, for undertaking constructive change, for engaging in mature growth, for achieving greater humanity than we have known. May this hour be a time for reflection on possibilities untried. May it help us on our way during the week ahead. And I invite Lyric Johnson and Tori Chapman to light our chalice as we join in the unison words printed in your order of service and projected on the wall. We gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. My call to worship words were written by David Blanchard. Come down off the ladder, wash out that paintbrush, shake the sand out of your shoes, get up off your muddy knees, and give the garden a morning off. Fold up the newspaper, turn off the coffee pot, close up your calendar already filled with dates and times and people and places that claim you. This church is ready for you to fill its rooms, to create its spirit, to generate its warmth, to kindle its light. This church is ready for you to make community, to create beauty, to bend it toward justice, to serve its ideals. This church is ready for you to be here, honoring our past, invigorating our present, and dreaming our future. This is your church. Here we are home. Here we are whole. Let us begin. I invite you now to rise in body and or spirit to join in our opening hymn, Blue Boat Home. Thank you. please join in the responsive reading projected on the wall? It is adapted from Nothing Personal by James Baldwin and Richard Avedon. I'll read the bold and you read the unbolded. For nothing is fixed. It is not fixed.
The earth is always shifting.
The light is always changing. Generations do not cease to be born, and we are responsible to them because we are the only witnesses they have.
The steam rises, the light fails, lovers cling to each other, and children cling to us.
The moment we cease to hold each other,
the moment we break faith with one another,
the sea engulfs us and the light goes out. I now invite Devin Johnson to share the story in the time for all ages.
I'd like to take this time to invite all of the youth to come forward. Come on down. Okay, today I'm going to read you all a poem. It's called The Romance by Shel Silverstein. Said the pelican to the elephant, I think we should marry, I do, because there's no name that rhymes with me, and no one else rhymes with you. Said the elephant to the pelican, there's sense to what you've said, for rhyming's as good a reason as any for any two to wed. And so the elephant wed the pelican, and they dined upon lemons and limes, and now they have a baby pelican, and everybody rhymes. The end.
Let's sing the children and youth and teachers out to their religious classes, and we'll sing the verse two times.
Your way in peace.
Place because we love what exists here. This church is a living entity, and like all living things, it must have nurture and sustenance. Its breath and its heartbeat, its life itself can only be derived from its living components, us. An offering will now be made by the willing and received in love.
Thank you.
Each week, we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows of this community. For things in our heart we hold in silence, we recognize them by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter or from the bowls here in the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life through thought or meditation. We place them in the cleansing waters of this community. If you have a joy, a sorrow, a celebration, or struggle you wish to recognize, you're invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow. I have a short reflection entitled Good Friday, April 2015. And following the reflection, we'll have a time of silence and we'll be called back from the silence by the chime. Blowing wind, rivers of rain, sky black, no visible rising sun. Yesterday's fleshy warmth, a chilled memory. Early blossoms, signs of new life, uncaringly destroyed by nature's power. Thunder booms. Its companion flashes jagged threads of cutting light. Unseen, above the overcast, the sun rises, only evidenced when the sky turns from black to gray. As the wind silences, the pelting rain ceases. No heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, but a single bird in the birch tree sings a springful note of joy. I now invite you to rise in body and or spirit and join in singing How Could Anyone, number 1053 in the hymnal or on the wall.
Thank you.
be seated. My reading this morning is The Times They Are A-Changin', written in 1964 by Bob Dylan. He was recently awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. And please join in saying the last line of each verse, which is, "The times they are a-changin'." Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changin'. Come writers and critics who prophesize with pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who it is naming. For the loser now will later to win. For the times, they are a-changin'. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he who gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside, and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changin'. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you don't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changin'. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changin'. I give you Sayer and Sharona.
Love can be intoxicating and overwhelming. When we find humans or careers or churches where we feel synergy all around us, where it feels good.
This kind of love doesn't feel like it takes a lot of effort. We are carried along by the current. It pulls us forward and draws us in.
The mad love of tidal wave, the good feelings, the kind that promotes vulnerability and light, and the kind that feels like comfort.
This is the fresh love, brand new with tags, the best self forward, the honey to draw us in, a person who's our big spoon, the supervisor who sees us and accepts our gifts, the church that moves from a Sunday obligation to a Wednesday open mic night and an abundance-filled potluck, the kind of love, work, or people that you crave and need.
You want to be the leader, the kind of person that you want to marry, the kind of church where all of a sudden you're one of those churchy people, and you're not only drinking the Kool-Aid, but you're passing out fair trade recyclable cups of it to anyone and everyone who'll take a sip.
Far too often, this is the kind of love we only see in our rearview mirror, our glory days. Always just out of reach like a mirage. The place we strive to get back to, but never wrote down the coordinates while we were there. That phase of love is far too brief and not sustainable. If we're lucky, we can pause and take note and relish in it. If we're intentional and disciplined, we can squirrel away some of this bounty for leaner times.
We know if it's the kind of love or career or church we want to invest in, we have to wade in deeper.
Traverse deeper down the prickly path, getting stung by nettles and still embracing the parts that will engage us, promote growth, and hold a mirror up to us. In any long-term relationship, whether with a partner, a friend, a job, a church, we find ourselves periodically assessing the extent to which our needs are being met. Balancing the amount that we give and the amount that we take. Over and over, I've learned that the success of each relationship is dependent on the work I put into it. Most often, I find that the harder I work, the more attention I give to what I want the relationship to look like, the more closely it resembles just that. And sometimes, I find that regardless of the amount of positive energy I put in, the relationship seems to not grow and change. I think this is the nature of relationships. They go through developmental stages. Sometimes they change based on the actor's tenacity, and sometimes they change or stay the same based on factors that none of the actors can control or affect. Depending on our previous experiences, we are quick to throw in the towel, telling ourselves that when our needs are no longer being met, we are to move on, because life is too short and we deserve to be happy. Our past experiences may also dictate that we redouble our efforts, that we stick in and do the work to create the relationship that we want, no matter what it takes. And in this relationship tango, we are dependent on the other actor or actors in the relationship to be on the same trajectory, making similar decisions at the same time. This is a tall order. How can we increase the likelihood that we're in lockstep? We can do a really difficult thing. Have the conversation that needs to be had. What do I say when my partner is growing in a way that I love to see and I'm relegated to watching from the sidelines? How do I put into words my feelings about the new supervisor at work who can't see my gifts in a way that my previous supervisor did? Who do I speak with when our minister leaves the church and each time I enter the space that used to fill me, I leave feeling disjointed, disconnected, and struggling to get my feet? Who do I raise my voice to when all these things are happening at the same time? How long can each of us bear the weight of knowing that our needs are not being met? And that to stay in relationship, whether with our partner, job, church, means eventual depletion of our own resources. And that leaving means cutting the cord that's been a lifeline, tethering us to our blue boat home. Do we throw in the towel? Do we redouble our efforts? The lesson that I've learned over the last several years is this. The answer for me is not either or. This is the binary thinking that I was taught and creates a false story of the right choice, the wrong choice, and the dangerous story of no choice. The answer for me is both and. This provides me a spectrum of choices and fills my hands, which might be poised in the air in a perpetual shrug of helplessness, with fistfuls of possibilities.
To survive relationships with one another, both and is where it needs to be. We as humans are capable of looking at challenges and hurts and love and joys and holding both of those truths. Conflict and hurt is a part of loving one another. It is a part of our love dance. As humans with histories and baggage, we drag along the sins of our fathers and our mothers, and the hurts of our peers and our society, and we bring it into spaces and into our relationships and into our careers, and we try to work it out. Sometimes with language and dialogue, and sometimes in ways that go direct to the bone. hurting each other, lying, name-calling, screaming, gnashing of teeth, punches pulled, the deconstruction of love rather than pushing its boundaries. Some conflict is needed to move forward. Some conflict can be fertilizer to go deeper, to be more truthful, to pull yourselves in. And some conflict can just be too much, so much that it recoils and kills it. It wraps around like a kudzu vine and chokes the life out of it. How do we hold the both and? Acknowledgement, apology, commitment to do better, then actually doing better. Conflict is not the only bitter part of this sweet, beautiful life. Some would argue it's changes and death that shadow this place. Some would say destruction and war, and some would say racism and social injustice. They all play in. When chalice circles were the heartbeat of this place, we strangers would gather and bare our souls and support one another without judgment and without conflict, simply with love and grace and room to grow, taking turns being vulnerable, taking turns centering each other, and that is when it is healthy and good and fertile and right. It's like that in our personal dances with friends and loved ones, the exchange, the centering of each other, the taking of time and care, the back and forth. That is when relationships can be elastic and flexible, allowing for movement and reciprocity. It's when that reciprocity is squashed that relationships become stagnant and one-sided. It can be constant work to find the balance. And sometimes we want to find the balance and work so hard to make it happen. And other times we simply want to let love slip out of our fingers like sand.
Sometimes things are so toxic that you have to let it go. There is no more rolling. You have to step away. There are so many resentments, misunderstandings, and conversations not had that for the sake of all involved, it's best to let it go. Sliding a letter of resignation across a table in human resources and walking out the door with your dignity intact might feel like liberation. Other times, after you've lived for some time without your person, you find that freedom and liberation can leave you floating aimlessly, and you commit to staying at the table to negotiate a win-win, no matter what it takes. You turn toward one another, face swollen from the ugly cries, and lean in. You decide together that the lessons learned and the growth earned can be put to best use in relationship with each other. You hold the hurts and the love and the trauma and the hope and the knowledge that it isn't going to be easy in your hands all at the same time, both and.
Sometimes you have to go in search of that bell that used to signal a time of sanctuary and have the conversation. Agree that not everyone likes the bell, and that's okay. And we can talk about it. We'll maybe form a committee. Create a consensus for the sake of tethering ourselves to each other. Sometimes we hold on to hope, we hold on to possibilities, we decide to wait and see. We have found as humans, as a couple, that we have navigated a long-term commitment, that sometimes waiting and seeing is okay. It's valuable. We know that this is not idle work, that you have to step in and help out, but in a guarded and cautious way. Hold on to the humans or ideas that resonate with you and let go of those things that don't. Take what we need and we leave the rest. So if you're tired of that same old story, baby, turn the pages. Lean into the uncomfortable and have the difficult conversations and hold on to both and. Extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community,
or the fire of commitment.
These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
May faith in the spirit of life and love of the light in each other be ours now and in all the days to come. Amen. Go in peace. And thank you to Sayer and Sharon.